Welcome to the Daily News Podcast with host Daniel Beard.
Hello and welcome to the Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Beard, and the editor of Share Moving Media's Daily News. Today we are joined again by Scott Adams. He's the publisher of Share Moving Media's Repertoire magazine. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great, man. It's another sunny morning here in Atlanta on lockdown with my son, Nicholas. <laughs> So yes. All good. I've had some great conversations this week and, just getting through. We found out yesterday that we got another 5 weeks of staying at home and social distancing. So a little bit depressing news, but at the same time, it seems like we're making the turn here and things are getting a little bit better. So
I hope so. I hope so. Some of the news is getting better. I'm, of course, on lockdown myself, just working away. I actually had the 1986 Masters on in the background yesterday for a little background music while working. You know, Jack's last victory there. I was wanting to get your thoughts on what you think about the Masters moving to November.
Well, I'm actually happy about it because it's going to give me a few more months to really work on my game and give Pritchard a few months to get in shape when he carries my bag up and down those hills in Augusta. So
there you go.
I think, but on a serious note, I think it'll be interesting to see that golf course in the fall and what it looks like. It's such a beautiful course this week every year. I actually posted a little throwback Thursday picture of me and my dad there in 2017.
Nice.
I got to take him for his 70th birthday, which was a blast. And he was a trooper. My dad's a retired Marine of 20 years. And I asked him, I said, "Hey dad, who do you want to follow today at the, you know, as a practice round?" And he said, "Son, I don't want to follow anybody. I want to start on 18 and I want to walk the entire course backwards and just look at it." And we did that. And he didn't realize that he had never heard of the tradition they do on Tuesday, which is to skip the golf ball across the pond on 16. And so, so we got to do that.
All right. Yeah. I've actually been there with my dad as well. Scott, it's just a fantastic experience. You know, he was the one who got me into golf and went with him back in 2011, actually. And we sat on number 16 there. And after we walked around the course, it's just great. Really missing it this week, you know?
I know, man. I've got my flag out front. It's my favorite weekend of the year, without a doubt. Actually, my son Nicholas, who's the producer of this podcast for us, his birthday is this weekend every year. So he's born on the 11th. And it's always just nice with having him and then, you know, having the Masters and putting something on the egg. I'm still going to do that because it's Easter weekend and have, you know, some friends and family over, less than 10. So not breaking any laws on Easter Sunday, but, do miss the Masters for sure. I like your idea. I think I'm going to throw on the Golf Channel today and not watch a little news. I will say, we started to talk a little bit there at the beginning. I have felt this week a turn in the news in them trying to be a little more positive, which I think we all need. But I also, yesterday when Bernie stepped out of the race, I thought was a very telling sign, as well as I saw my first political Biden ad in probably 3 or 4 weeks. So that tells me the folks in D.C. really are starting to believe we're making a change. I don't think Biden's camp would have let him start putting political ads out yet. And I don't think Bernie would have chosen to drop out of the race yesterday if they didn't feel like things were changing. That's just my own conspiracy theorist mind working. But if nothing else, it helped me a little bit yesterday, especially with the news of, hey, we got 5 more weeks of being at home. So anyways, I'm looking forward to this talk today. Very similar to our talk earlier this week. I've had a chance to talk to a bunch of manufacturer reps. And got a bunch of responses to the survey. So this is a culmination of all of those. And I just want to thank everybody that replied to it or that I've talked to in the few days. And I would tell the listeners today, I've got a story at the end of this that will touch your heart. So stick through it with us to the end. It's a really, really cool story about what one of our own has been out doing for the last 3 weeks for the frontline workers in Richmond, Virginia.
Awesome. Awesome, Scott. I know we spoke about the distributor reps earlier this week, and you recently asked both distributor and manufacturer reps about the challenges of selling under the nationwide social distancing measures. Today, we'll discuss the manufacturers covering some of the same questions that we covered earlier in the week. So, Scott, how has the COVID-19 pandemic changed the way manufacturer reps approach calls that would have been face-to-face in the past?
Yeah, so that's a question I asked both parties. And the real interesting thing with these guys is I've gotten all over the board. The majority, I would say, are telling me there's no face-to-face. I mean, that's the short answer. But then I had a gentleman, and I'm going to do like I did last week. I'm not going to name any names just to protect the innocent, but I had a gentleman in Oklahoma say, hey, you know, for us Oklahomans, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And he said last week he was in more accounts than he wasn't. So folks, some folks are still in accounts, some aren't. I would highly think that most accounts that are open are probably so slammed and just trying to find PPE products. And from talking to these guys, a lot of them, which carry those products, it's just nonstop of not only working with the end users, but really they're spending a ton of their time now working with the distribution reps to get answers to them and to get product out the door where it's needed the most. And I think communication is the key. And I said it earlier this week in the other podcast we did on this, that relationships are winning the day like they always have. And it's amazing to listen to these manufacturer reps talk about how important the distribution reps are today and what they're doing for these providers.
Right, right. And, you know, that's really how they remain relevant in this unprecedented time, Scott. But can you expand a little bit on that, on their relevancy? And is there anything that's happened during this time that has made them better sales reps?
Yeah, so I got a whole variety of answers to that one. And the couple of I'm gonna read a couple of things just directly that were written in. But the three big things that came out of it that were very much stand out is, one, they're staying relevant through content, which we've talked about for the last 3 or 4 years here at Share Moving Media. But just getting content out, whether it's, you know, proper hand washing, or whether it's, you know, where to go for information on COVID, or where to go to find out where your allocation's at on your N95 mask. So content, content, content. The other is that was an overwhelming response was compassion. Trying to be compassionate for these distribution reps that just are exhausted from having conversation after conversation with the same questions. And then the last one was, you know, in any way, shape, or form, how can we help? You know, that's the number one way they're staying relevant, is they're just asking the question, how can they help? Everybody, I think, knows that we're not in a time of selling right now. We're in a time of, we're at war with this disease, with this virus rather, and it's all hands on deck. And so what I'd like to do is just read a couple of the responses I got from the folks, and forgive me for my reading skills. I went to a public school system in Jacksonville, Florida, so bear with me here. Here's one response. Immediately, the thought process is to help with sincere compassion. There's that word, compassion. How can you help? Not selling, but helping. I've experienced very few true moments alike in sales. Caring even the smallest way can sometimes provide the biggest impact. I thought that was just a spectacular answer. Here's another one. I believe something good can come out of anything. I have relied on my faith in God my whole life. Hasn't changed under these circumstances either. I will say I have had little time to slow down and really focus on customers, emails, and even their organization's time. And this has given me a time to step back and reflect. Here's one more. It has taught me and others at MTMC that our value is very high and we are respected highly in the industry, as this has created relationships that will last a lifetime. As we have been on the front lines of supplying products to healthcare systems, it's taught me that I can care and make a difference. It's taught me that your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. It's extremely clear to me now, we are here to help. I read those and I got probably 30 or 40 responses like that. I couldn't read them all, but I mean, they grab you, and it just makes you realize how. And I had a podcast with Joan Elizak from McKesson on Monday, I think it was. Every day's blending in, obviously, for all of us. And Joan had a really interesting take on it. She's like, it really has hit all of us how important our jobs are. And it's so true. It's so true. It's such an interesting thing to watch. I wish we never had to go through it, but wow, how the industry's responded has been incredible.
Right, right. And this pandemic has changed the way that so many of us go about things and changed the way that everyone does business. But it's really also changed the way that we all think about things on that level. And I think those answers that you received really drive that point home, Scott. Thank you for sharing those.
Absolutely.
And what lasting impacts do some of those manufacturer reps expect this pandemic to have on the way that they approach their job and the way they approach their customers?
Yeah, I'm going to try to kind of put in to my own words what I took from reading all of these responses and talking to the folks. And I truly think the lasting impact from this, and when I tell this story at the end, it'll be a great example of that. But I think the overarching lasting impact will be how, one, people responded to this, and customers will remember without a doubt who was there, who helped them. This will forge relationships that last a lifetime, without a doubt. And to me, that's amazing. It's truly a gift that we have as humans, and the way folks are, you know, taking care of each other, it's pretty cool.
Right. Right.
Couple other things just from more of a business standpoint, that came across is folks think that a lot of stuff's going to change in how people order after this. Obviously the country wasn't prepared with PPE products like it needed to be. And so I think things will come out, or the folks I talked to think things will come out of this where people are storing PPE products, you know, 2 months worth, you know, and then rotating it out regularly. So it doesn't go out of date, that type of stuff, but they'll have it on hand to protect themselves and others. One individual said, after this, real solutions have to come out of this that relate to COVID-19 because it will cycle back. So we need to make sure when we hit the streets again as reps that we are preparing these providers for that. And we have to remind them. I think one of the Shine guys, the distribution reps, his, you know, the story I gave the other day about having 10 gowns, 10 masks, so on and so forth is so true. I think that's exactly what they're saying here. But again, I think the thing that will be there is the relationship. And I've said this a couple of times this week on different podcasts, but you know, I think that character during drought is what people remember during the harvest. And so we need to have character and continue to just take care of these providers as best we can and the distribution folks.
Right. Right. We touched on this a little bit earlier in the week with distribution, but what is the current morale like? What are the manufacturer reps saying about the current morale in their accounts? And have they done anything creative for their accounts?
Yeah, so kind of like I answered the earlier one, a couple of key themes came out of it. One is uneasy. Other is very concerned. But there were some and many that were optimistic. And just like I was saying before, I'm optimistic after this week. Last week was pretty tough. And this week's tough with the number of deaths that we're seeing. But I am optimistic that we are making the turn to recovery for this. I'm going to read a couple of comments here for you. Morale at the distribution level is low. I heard that several times. Everyone is just tired of getting the same questions. Do you have, when will you have, when can I have? And then you throw on top of it, it was a pretty significant flu season as well. So morale is pretty down there. Morale at the end user level is low because all of these folks have lives when they get home and they're coming back after taking care of sick people. And could be bringing that back into their home. I want to read this one specifically from the New York area because I think, you know, the whole country's eyes are on New York right now. Morale in accounts depends on where they are located. Accounts in New Jersey are cautious and doing proactive and innovative things to take care of patients to limit their contact with each other. Morale in New York City accounts is much lower, as this is a hot spot of COVID-19 outbreak. Facilities are completely overwhelmed, and the worst is yet to come. And many of these healthcare professionals know that these next 2 weeks will be critical, and they are all just incredibly exhausted. I think, you know, reading that, and then they follow, the individual followed up with ways to just kind of help during some of this stuff. Just being human right now, a smile goes a long way. Another rep told me that she's been writing handwritten notes to all of her end users and accounts, on a regular basis. And then I got this one. My boss, Dave Hughes, said it best. He said, he's not trying to seem like a poacher. Some would call it an ambulance chaser at this time. This is a time to offer help that might really help someone and not seem like you're going after the buck. It's a fine line for sure, but we have to help these individuals. I mean, these folks all take it so serious. It's really, really, I don't know what the right word is, encouraging to watch and listen and to hear all of these great stories.
Right. And such a purpose, you know, really.
It really is. I mean, it's amazing. I'm so thankful that we're able to cover it the way we've been doing, and hopefully it's helping some folks. And speaking of helping folks, I want to tell the audience this story, of an individual in Richmond, Virginia, Eric Vanags, who I've known Vanags since he was a rookie rep 20 years ago, just a great guy. You can see some of his posts on actually the one of the hospitals posted about him, but Eric did this 100% on his own. This was his idea, and he's been doing this after hours in the evenings. He started a Facebook page to raise money to feed frontline workers about 3 weeks ago. And all he did is he went out and put the page out and said, you know, to the community, it with no followers or anything, just started it, said, I'm putting $200 of my own money in this week that I want to go and help a local restaurants and then help feed folks on the front line. Within a week, over $2,000 was donated. And as of this morning, when I talked to him, over $10,000 has been donated to his site. They have been to more than 12 hospitals, supported 14 restaurants, and they have fed over 735 healthcare workers in Richmond. Like I said, character during droughts, what people will remember in the harvest. But Eric's not doing that to be noticed. He didn't put that out on LinkedIn. The hospital did, thanking him. And Eric, if you're listening, I want to thank you. I also think you need to get a haircut as soon as this thing's over. You're looking a little hippie-ish. But anyways, there's hundreds of those stories, and I want to cover as many of them as we can. We are doing a special edition of JHC, actually, that's going to go out here in a couple of weeks, just thanking the frontline workers. We have about 15 to 20 manufacturers who are sponsoring that magazine. So we're very excited about that. And there's some stories in there. There's going to be some pictures of distribution folks working in their warehouses and getting product out to help the providers. And we're all in this together, man. So I really appreciate you doing this podcast and having me on it.
Yes. Thanks. Thanks again for joining, Scott. Those are just awesome, awesome stories. And you know, the lines will be long outside the barber shops when we get back to normal. I think all of us are going to have to line up for a haircut and a trim. But looking at how the manufacturer and distributor reps are handling this unprecedented time, it's just been a great discussion with you this week on the podcast. And I thank you so much again for joining, Scott. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the audience didn't hear the one we did on Tuesday, if you go back and look in the daily news on Tuesday, you can find that podcast where I answered these very similar questions from the distributor point of view. That's right. There was some pretty cool, not difference of opinions, but just different, the way that distribution reps have been handling stuff is a little different than what the manufacturer reps have been doing. So pretty cool. Listen. And then there's, if you go on Repertoire's website, we have a bunch of podcasts covering some of this stuff. And I only share that with you, audience, just to say, hey, it helps us stay connected. That's all we're trying to do right now, is to help everybody stay connected as much as we can while we're social distancing. So again, Daniel, thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Listeners, you can find our continuing COVID-19 coverage at repertoiremag.com and at jhconline.com, as Scott said. And you can find the daily news in your email inbox each and every day. Thank you again to Scott. Thank you so much.